WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the crab cake season, the Lamar Jackson requesting a trade season. It's all new around here, but it's going to be old again. We get together next week and go to our homeland. And our guest loves Costas. So we're going to be there on the 5th on Wednesday from 2 until 5, celebrating 50 years of the Maryland Lottery. Costas is one of the original lottery purveyors. 50th anniversary, I have the instant lottery scratch-off tickets. Also, our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. Get involved. Buy two, get two free. 0% financing. Get it done before the summer. You'll be happy you did. I know I'm happy I did it last year as well. I am sad that I did not get together with this guy on New Year's Eve when he came in for football. It was cold. There was family. He had family. It was a holiday. There was Costas. There was food. There were kids. He's got a lot of kids, a lot of boys. Some of them are Broadway actors, and some of them are maybe football players at some point or athletes. He is the main event. He was a longtime center and guard here for the Baltimore Ravens. You remember him as number 62 in your program. Number one always in my heart. Welcome the main event, Mike Flynn, back on here. Flynn 985. First off, first things first, I always pray for you and Mary. I attended your wedding. You're one of the few Ravens players. I went to your wedding. It was back when I was a real media member, and we were all to get in it together, lo, these many years ago. But you have these offspring, these beautiful children, and they're all growing up, and they're all boys. And I just think, like, you've had a very busy 15-year period since you stopped playing football.
Yeah, well, certainly now. We were talking a little before we got on air. Once they get to a certain age, they have different interests, right? So I have four boys, and it's – you know, different sports, different after-school activities. So, like, I'm, like, running ragged. You know what I mean?
You look you look a little tired today. I'm going to be honest with you.
Well, I just came from the gym.
Okay, which, all right.
You know, I go through these peaks and valleys of my post-workout career.
Uh-huh.
You know, with when you were playing, right, it was like, in essence, you got paid to work out. So I became addicted to it. But once I didn't have a financial obligation to work out anymore, it was pretty easy not to work out. So I kind of go in the, you know, I get to a certain weight, and I got to drop. I get to
Well, you've seen guys pick it. I mean, Matt Burke, Marshall. You just go through Ravens linemen from J.O., Ed Mulitalo. A lot of you guys have lost some weight, and you have some other guys that went the wrong way. And, you know, Goose always battled his weight, God rest
his
soul.
Well, it is scary. I mean, when I got done playing at like 33, 34, it wasn't a big deal. But now I'm in my late 40s. It's kind of a big deal now. You know what I mean? Because when you get older, you realize, like, oh, man, like, I can't be 280 pounds when I'm 53. You know what I mean? So, but, yeah, it's the hardest part is my kids. You know, anybody that knows kids, it's, you know, you're cooking for them. You're eating their leftovers. And they can eat whatever they want. Chips, candy, you know. And it
can't leave that lying around, dude.
So, unless I just, like, not buy any of that stuff in the house, what sucks, because it's not their fault that I can't, like, I'm going to blow up like a blimp. You know what I mean? So I have to buy candy, cakes, all that kind of stuff every now and then. So we're trying though. My seventh grader now is finally like getting into lifting and sees the benefits of football. So like he's doing protein shakes and stuff. But fortunately for my kids, like two of my four kids are going to be really big. And I mean big, like, they'll have the height.
Well, your wife's an athlete too. Your wife
the other ones are smaller, not as big, but they all have my wife's build in terms of, I don't know if they're going to, like, my build when I was in fourth and fifth and sixth grade, it was a rough time for the school pictures. I filled out the picture frame, if you know what I mean.
You were the catcher.
I was the catcher. I was the first baseman, played goalie in soccer. I was the center in basketball.
Your parents, and I'm, you know, you think of me as being short and skinny and a little guy and all that.
Very short and skinny.
Right. I was husky.
Oh, when you shopped in the husky section, as did I?
As when I was a boy, we went to Epstein's. When I was, and I tell people this lovingly, and you can, I had Mr. Statham on our crab cake tour over Drug City in Dundalk. Another place you should visit when you go to Dundalk, by the way. Go to the soda shop there, the fountain. Well, I'll take you in a whole tour of Dundalk. You told me you brought the kids to Dundalk. You didn't bring in the real Dundalk.
No, I went solo. I went without the tour guide.
Listen. I know you're a big deal up in Maine. Pat Ricard told me that there's a whole shrine to you. You're in the Maine Hall of Fame. I'm in the Dundalk Hall of Fame, and that's true.
That's
all right?
Harder to get in.
Probably, yeah, probably is, right? So nonetheless, I'm in Dundalk and I'm talking to Mr. Statham, who was my middle school music teacher. We did My Fair Lady. By the way, I was in My Fair Lady, so I'm right after your boy's heart. So if your boy and I got together, we could have a little Broadway conversation about the street where we live. So I said I was an Ovaltine. You know what I'm saying? When I'm saying that, an oval, that's what I was. And I grew out of it a little bit, but part of it was just trying to get in shape, eating right. I'm 55 now. I'm on a yoga mat, feeling good and like all that. But dude, I got to get to football with you because I love your kids, love the family, love the legacy, the ring. Did you like the Bullies of Baltimore? Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, it was good. It's good. You know, it was not the format that I thought they were going to have. They normally would have. You know, normally it was a straight up documentary, right? More film, but it was more like a conversation. So it, you know, I wasn't expecting that, but it's interesting. You know what I mean? You get those people in place to talk about something. It certainly brought back a lot of memories.
Did your kids watch it?
Joe did. The others have not. So it's kind of weird. You know, it's like,
man, you were part of that, dude. That it was the most. No offense to your kids, your family, but professionally, it's the greatest thing that you've ever done that you'll ever do.
Yeah.
And me riding in that parade was a once in a lifetime.
It is weird because you get removed from it, right? And it's not so much. I mean, time certainly is part of it, right? You know, the time that last time I played, and certainly from that game and that team. But it's like life changes, priority changes, and it becomes like this whole other life. And, you know, now that I coach in football, I get questions. Hey, how was this? How was the Super Bowl? You know, and you get a chance to reminisce about it. And
it's kind of like your wedding day, right? It's a great day.
Yeah, it's
but
just
then
a
you
weird
gotta go
feeling,
live,
you know?
Do the marriage. Then you gotta
almost,
go live.
I guess the way I can say it, it's almost like I'm the outside looking in. It's a movie, you know, what I did. And I do miss it. Like, God, you know what I mean? Like, there's so much of it that I enjoyed, right? And would love to be back doing that. But now it's like, you know, you got kids and you got a wife and you got responsibilities. And shoot, when I played, like I owned an apartment, you know, I never had a house. I had one car. Now it's like I got two cars and I got a house and I got to do yard work and all this kind of crap. You know what I mean? So it does get it. So when you see stuff like that, it definitely, you know, brings it back and it brings it back quick. You know, and
well, that was the only priority in your life. No offense to Mary or your media obligations with me back in the day, but your whole life was making that thing happen for the rest of your life, right?
Yeah, and then I had Jake my last year there when he was born, and that was like difficult to a point, right? You know what I mean? But I just felt like at the time it would have been hard to do that. And plus, to me, like you're just all in. Like you're either in or you're out. Like it's hard to tippy toe, especially for me. I wasn't the most naturally gifted guy. You know, there was
you had to work harder than everybody.
Yeah, but there's the guys. Like I would say there's probably, if there's, you know, 53 guys in a locker room, there's 40 of them that are like that. You know what I mean? That really need to be all in and bust their ass. And there's 13 that naturally.
Well, the 13 are first round draft picks or guys that came from somewhere else after they were first round draft picks.
But they still, honestly, to reach that level, they have to work. But, you know, they could probably skate a little bit more than somebody like I could or some of these other guys. But I look back and I see that and it's crazy. And those memories and the stories. And, you know, it's good when you get back together with them, you know, with, we usually have that reunion, but it's been kind of pushed off and everything with COVID. But it's funny how the stories are all kind of the same, but when you talk to these guys, it's from a different perspective. So I always find that fascinating, right? Like you and I have stories that we were at, whether it's something at the barn or
but you and I get together, not just on radio, we're friends
views,
and,
you know?
But we stay in touch. There are other guys. Like I ran into big Keith Washington in Canton, Ohio. I don't know, like when Ray Lewis went in, right? I hadn't seen him, thought of him.
Yeah.
Never. And we ran into each other in the Hall of Fame. He came up and gave me the warmest hug. We changed it. And it was just sort of like, what are you doing? I'm fishing, man. I do a lot of fishing. You know what I mean? And everybody's got a story, but you don't keep up with the guys. And the reunion
would be more about
are you, right?
It's a weird connection. You know, I did something for the Ravens. Like I did we go to a couple of different bars or something. And it was Jamie Sharper who was the player that I did it with. And I don't think I've laid eyes or talked to Jamie Sharper in 12, you know, since the last reunion, which was 12 or 13 years ago. And it was him bouncing around for 3 or 4 hours. you know, signing some autographs, but most of the time it's just kind of talking. Hey, what are you doing this, that? And
I saw Dwayne. I saw Dwayne Starks was doing autographs, and so was Todd Heap.
Yeah.
But Dwayne and I got to catch up at the Hollywood Casino when they opened it. And he and I just, like, spent an hour together, just
us. Yeah, it's great, and you get it, and that's it. You move on, and then, you know, hopefully it's another guy that you see. And, you know, going down to Baltimore, I saw Edwin, which – when I went to the Steelers game that we didn't catch him on, Edwin happened to be there. And I mean, that was a guy I haven't seen forever.
See, and his I wife think of you guys as close. There. Isn't that funny? Yeah.
And we watched, you know? We watched the game together, which was very unique, you know, considering I haven't really been to many Ravens games as a fan. You know, I've probably been in the stadium, you know, a handful of times, you know, and we watched the game together. And we were lucky. All the action was going our way. We lost, but like he was coming in. So it was crazy watching with him. And in between all that stories and this and that. So that's kind of how you catch up on it. You watch that. It, you know, the stories that those guys told, I can't remember, but certainly from my perspective, there was a different view to it, right? There's a different angle that I'm sure I could add to that story. But that's what it's all about, bringing those memories back, because they kind of go away. You know what I mean? Like you just forget all these. The nuance of everything that happened that year and the relationships and stuff like that. So,
well, I'm glad to have your relationship. Mike Flynn is here, the main event. You follow him at Flynn985 when he's not chasing his kids from Broadway to sporting events and to school and being a parent of a bunch of boys. I called you to talk about Lamar, and we are right on the backside of the press conference on Monday and John Harbaugh, if you're tuning in later in the week. So it's very sort of there and reactive that Lamar has said that he requested a trade on March 2nd. You're up in New England. You professionally covered the Patriots for a decade in the aftermath on sports radio at 98.5 and the Hub up in Boston.
Yeah.
What's on your mind as a removed former athlete watching this and knowing what New England went through with Tom Brady? But this for the Ravens is so unprecedented. You know, maybe Ray could have left, or maybe, you know, Suggs could have left, or Ed Reed, or any of these players. But the Ravens have made – they haven't had an offseason like this with tumult.
Yeah, I mean, you're an interesting spot. I go – you know, and it goes back to the contract. And I'll say this. First off, requesting a trade, there's a fallout in negotiations. You need to realize – and I was up here at the time when that happened with a couple of players up here, Vince Wilfork, Logan Mankins. These were franchise guys, and at one point there was in the media saying how the franchise lied to him. The owner of the team lied to him. You know, like Logan Mankins came out and said they end up signing a contract. Wilfork signed a contract, ended up being a legend, Hall of Famer here. So those things can always be fixed. You know what I mean? You request a trade today, you get your contract tomorrow, all is forgiven, right? That's how negotiations and sometimes they can be pretty emotional. But overall, it's a unique situation. You know, Lamar Jackson's a quarterback that in today's NFL and in sports really is the most important position in sports. And what that entails financially is huge, and he wants it guaranteed. And, you know, I could see the point of view from the Ravens, meaning it's an issue about guarantees, okay? You didn't play into the playoffs. It's been proven that you have been getting beaten up and hurt at times if you haven't finished the season, okay? So that, I think, is what they're kind of drawing their line in the sand at. And as a player, you know, how good he is and his track record, I would say to you, listen, okay, you haven't put the skill guys around me that are like some of these other top-end quarterbacks in this league. As I develop my game, you didn't put these skill players around it. My offensive coordinator didn't develop my game. Like, I get it. I first came from Louisville. You know, he came in the middle of a season, then he had a great MVP year, but we never expanded on that offense. It became the same, if not the worst of more than that. And I didn't get developed here. And now I need to financially suffer for that when clearly I'm one of the better quarterbacks in the league, you know? And as a player, like, why? If X quarterback at this much, Z quarterback at this much, I'm getting that much. And if you're willing to draw a line in the sand, I have no issue with that. If these guys are getting the guarantees, if he's not getting those exact guarantees, then you will get it from somebody else.
I'm thinking about this in regard to like your position, and it's not the quarterback, but let's say John Ogden. John was up for money and wherever, 5 years into his career, and he hadn't finished the last two seasons. At any other position, just tackle, pick any center, whatever you want, right? If it's Matt Burke, if it's, you know, somebody going to the Hall of Fame, whatever it is, saying, I'm a great player, Tony Boselli, I'm a great player, but I haven't finished the last two seasons, but I want you to pay me top of class, guaranteed, all of it guaranteed, right? Like, I don't know that that's collusion among, and look, I think these owners are scumbags. I, you know, I happen to have had a massive difference of opinion with the Ravens owner who has lied to me. I don't know where Vince Wilfork was, but I know this owner's lied to me. So I would just say for him, taking this to the market and trying to sell it to Arthur Blank or to Stephen Ross or to the Tampa Bay Bucks owners, the brothers, the Glazer, these owners that are going to have to come with $200 million of guaranteed money. Steve didn't want to do that. Jimmy Haslam did it last year, but I had Lee Steinberg on last week, and he's like, hey, man, that contract's part of the market. It's not an outlier. It's in the market. It happened. It's real. It's here. There's money floating around this league everywhere. Why isn't the quarterback getting it? And then Lamar really has screwed this up royally by not having an agent. And maybe I could speak to you about that. Like, can you imagine your career without an agent?
Well, certainly not with the moving parts that he has in his career. You know what I mean? There's more to it than just his contract, right? There's so many things when you're the quarterback, how you, you know, a trusted voice when you're making advertising decisions, making life decisions. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, you need to have a lot of confidence in yourself, certainly. And, you know, have somebody trusted who maybe isn't nearly an agent that kind of look at the big picture thing. So, and then certainly the nuance and the subtleties of contract negotiation, especially at his level, you know, for me, it was relatively simple when it came to a lot of stuff. For him, it would not be. So, but in terms of the owners, it's a huge outlay of money and it's a huge risk because of the nature of his game. And yes, I do think the offense played a big part, and certainly his weapons, but the ability to drop back and throw consistently, right? Can he read defenses? It's hard to say, you know, generally in that offense, but you need to throw to win. But yeah, it is a big risk there. And, you know, the difference you mentioned, Jonathan Ogden, certainly the player, the caliber would want top dollar, and you could use that scenario, but a quarterback is much different because the money you get a year is a lot bigger. And the investment in that guy, you know, the reality is if you didn't have Jonathan Ogden for 3 or 4 games or half a season or the playoffs, you can find a way to win. If you're building your offense around your quarterback and as much money as you give that, it affects everybody else getting a slice of that pie of the salary cap. It is harder to win if he gets hurt is the point. You know what I mean? But there's in terms
but I think for any player who hasn't finished the last two seasons going into an option to get paid in any sport,
it's
you would say, that's a problem.
It's a problem
that he hasn't. And that's the problem on him getting a guarantee.
Like the money they should be able to give him. So if they're saying, well, we don't have the money to give him, well, that's crap because the owners make a lot of money and they have money. But if you legitimately say, like, we're worried about the guarantee, that if we give him $240 million guarantee and he's 2 years into that contract and he can't play or he can't play well, what do we do? And honestly, like any quarterback making that kind of money, it seems like a big risk. Now, you know, Derek Carr got paid, it wouldn't be that much. You know, some of these guys that are just okay guys get a lot of money because if you don't have a quarterback, you really can't even start. You can't even think about winning. So, you know, if he was a free agent, I think he would have more interest in the fact that no matter what, they're going to have to pony up 2 number one picks. If they work out some compensation, I would guess that the Ravens really want him. Like, that's your starting point anyway, because you gave him that franchise tender that you're required to give 2 number one picks. So you're giving $250 million plus, and you hope you can build an offense that fits his skill set. And we got to give up 2 first-round picks. So, you know.
And, by the way, make the salary cap space.
Yes. So it was a good move by the Ravens, so to speak, because – if he was a true franchise player, I wonder if, you know, would limit people at all, you know, maybe negotiating with him. But you say, hey, listen, we'll give him this. It'll save us some money. If we don't want to match, you know, we could get the first round picks. And maybe you could see, like, Lamar, see, people have an opportunity to give the contract demands that you want, and you're not getting it.
Well, that's
Like
where
if they,
they are right now. That
yeah,
is the
if
scenario
they
right now,
really
right?
want you, what's two first round picks for a franchise quarterback? And in reality, right, is it like Tom Brady in his prime for two first round picks? Who cares? First round picks. Like if you get Tom Brady or a guy that you think you're going to win, it's going to be the bottom of the first round anyway. So my thought would be is if you're the Ravens, and they've always been pretty good, shrewd negotiators, you know, there's a few guys like John Fox, one of those guys they kind of just paid. But hey, go out and try to find that contract and maybe we'll match. We want you here, but we just have a difference of opinion what we think you should be guaranteed. Well, clearly he hasn't found that contract or a team willing to give up first round picks with the contract he wants. So in a way, like, I could see that frustration from Lamar Jackson now spilling over to trade requests, because if the Falcons were going to give that money or the Raiders, whoever it would be, like they would have done it by now. Cause I would think it's something you, or at least by the draft anyway, but it was kind of a good move by them to kind of throw it out there, see what you can find. And the Ravens have done that a lot where they've told guys like, listen, go out and see what you can find and come back to us. And a lot of times, the player would come back and either go to, you know, what they established to begin with. But that's kind of what this is, a lot more high stakes at the quarterback position. So it's very delicate, right? But I do believe if Lamar Jackson gets money close to what he's seeking and he comes back to the Ravens, I think bygones are bygones. I mean, listen, like, it's business. It could be very personal. There's no doubt about that. He doesn't have an agent who is the intermediary between ownership and the coach and him, which really sucks, because I had no illusions that when I was getting evaluated in the offseason or I was up for a contract, that they're like, hey, this guy's not better than this guy, this guy, this guy. And I'm going to say, well, shit, I'm better than that guy. I'm better than that guy. You know, but if you don't have that guy in between, you're hearing all that. So how is that not personal? You know, just, but I don't know the conversations they're having, but I, at some point, like, why aren't you giving me this money? Well, we don't think you can stay healthy. Well, screw you, I could stay healthy. Whereas if you had an intermediary that has done that for years, knows how to smooth waters on both sides, right? That maybe tones the rhetoric down on both sides. Now, you got to pay him something for that, which Lamar doesn't want to do. And you have a contract like that, that's a lot of money to smooth things over. But I can see how not having an agent could make that situation very personal. So that's where at, you know, in a trade request. I highly doubt it that they would trade him. I don't think they would, because
I think that they're going to have a hard time welcoming him back. I mean, and Mike,
you
for
do
me,
who? Like the people in the front? I don't think
no,
so.
No,
why?
No, no,
why
no.
Would they?
This is where I am. You know, for me, with the, if I were an owner and it's this far along the line, if Lamar Jackson comes into my office, and this is my first question as a reporter. Like, if I were out in the owner's meeting sniffing around right now, asking questions of people, I would really try to figure out why he wasn't in Cincinnati. Why wasn't he there? Was that his idea, your idea, to tell him to not come, that it would be better for him to not be around? How could it not be better for your quarterback guy to be holding a tablet on the sidelines, helping the quarterback that's out there, being another's, that it, just being all in? Does this trade request does not shock me that on January 2nd, he didn't want to be a part of the football team? And being a reporter who's been thrown out, there's no way to get to the truth of that and be in there and work it. But to me, the biggest story is what happened once he was injured and they were telling people he was coming back and he never came back and he never spoke up. And then all of a sudden, he's not in Cincinnati for a playoff game. Dude, there's no way Mike Flynn, center, John Ogden, any of these guys we answered wouldn't have been on the sideline in Tennessee and in Oakland and on the sideline swinging a towel the way Kelly Gregg was and a whole bunch of other people. Kim Herring didn't get to play in the Super Bowl. They swing. You're on the team. You're the highest paid guy on the team. You're the leader of the team. The team's playing a playoff game. If you're not there, you're really on the team. And that is a legitimate question that I think's been burning for me, but I haven't said it out loud a whole lot over the last 12 weeks or whatever. But if I'm an owner about to sign him, or I'm a reporter in the city where they signed him, the first question is, why wasn't he with his teammates at a playoff game? That just smells not good to me for any of them, for all of them.
Well, football is a team game, right? So that's a fair point, right? What was going on at the end there where, if it was a random game, week seven is one thing, but you win, you're in,
Well, week seven, you
playoff type
say he's home
atmosphere.
staying off his feet. We don't want him on a plane to swell.
In terms of whether he, responds to the media with about his injury or anything, like to me, as an athlete, a lot of times you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? Now, it's better off in today's media world with Twitter and social media and these athletes to get out in front of stuff to put your narrative out there. But it's also saves not to say anything because no matter what you say, it could be used against you. But that's like saying nothing. You can't win. But so I don't give him a hard time about that. It's not his responsibility to give people updates on whether he's going to play or not, right? He gives that to the team. Now, not showing up, that big game, giving support, knows how much that maybe you could play the week after. Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. That's a fair point that, he doesn't give me an answer or you an answer, but he certainly would have to give ownership and his coach an answer.
Well, if you want $250 million from the next guy.
Just to play nice, right? So I don't know how damaged that relationship. Certainly, I go, Steve Bisciotti was in the business world. And all owners at some point screw somebody over. Not owners, businessmen, right? You got to screw somebody over, or you get over on somebody, and that happens to you, right? And then you end up doing business with people, right? Like, he would have to take the high road in terms of like, all right, he was pissed off. We tried to negotiate in the season. He didn't take what we offered. He didn't show up to the last game. We're still here, but now we have an opportunity to get together, and this is it. He's going to sign this. We agree to this. Like, to put everything aside and realize what's better for the franchise. To me, Lamar Jackson playing well with the Baltimore Ravens, his personality and his style of play financially is much better than him leaving for Steve Bisciotti and for the Ravens. And I'm certainly businessmen can see that part of it. I mean, you want to strip it clean, right? Like, take the sentiments, the friendships out of it and all this, how I like it. Bottom line, he's worth money to the franchise, and he will be, especially if he plays well and stays healthy. So if you, I
If
think
he's
stuff like that.
motivated in there and his heart's into it, right?
But if he signs that deal to stay, he will be motivated. You can't assume that, he's going to take that money and run. But who knows? I can't get in his mind, shut it down. But I think he's going to be motivated to prove the contract. He's going to be motivated to win there. So it can be solved. But yeah, certainly right now it doesn't look like it's the best case scenario for either group right there.
The main event is Mike Flynn, number 62 in your program, and certainly number one on that day of January 28th, 2001, which floats further and further away in 22 years. And the Bullies of
Absolutely,
Baltimore,
man.
family's good, everything's good.
Everybody's great.
You coaching anything? What are you doing, man?
Coaching football. Sorry, I'm Nestor. Moving just a little bit. I want to get a charger for my
That's all right. I'm
technology.
about to get rid of you anyway, but.
Oh, perfect. Everything's good. Coaching. My wife's coaching softball now. Head coach of softball, the varsity level, teaching. You know how that works. Busy.
Absolutely, man.
Coaching
Well,
youth football. My son's playing hockey, so I'm learning how to everything there is to know about hockey, which is interesting.
I'll teach you a few things about that. On his way, Mike Flynn, the awesome guard center for the Baltimore Ravens, low these many years ago. We never forget number 62 around here. Stay safe out on the interwebs up there in Massachusetts. Always good to hear from Mike. You can follow him at Flynn985. I am Nestor. You can follow me to Costas next Thursday for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I'll be giving away the instant lottery scratch-offs. We'll be there from 2 to 5 on Wednesday, the 5th, and then on the 7th in the morning at Fadley's. Opening day is the 6th. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Window Nation. I am Nestor. We are
O's, huh? The
WNSD.
O's gonna be good this year or what?
Yeah, well, yeah, they're
Orioles?
playoff. They're a contender. They
I mean,
got young talent,
I
unlike your
know.
Red Sox people up there.
Oh no, we're in tough shape right now, so.
Well, it's about time. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore
Perfect.
positive.